You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LaFondra looking to get close side of Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, we'll be talking today about a 2-1 defeat against Derby County away. And I've also been joined by Alex Everson. How are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, not too bad, Paul. Frustrating to lose last night, but you know, things are definitely need to be taken into context with the loss last night, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we will come into that. Basically, it's about the referee. I mean, there's some people that don't enjoy us moaning about the referee, but unfortunately, that is exactly what we will be doing. But we will also talk about things that perhaps we could have done better as a team as well. And talking about the positives, I think I've covered all the angles there. But if you do fancy going to the game against Cambridge United that is coming up on Saturday, we have a ticket giveaway, which has now reached, I think, maybe 15 or 16,000 pounds.
It's a bit different to our normal ticket giveaways.
Yeah, just slightly. Well, I've got to say, amazing thanks to all the Reading fans that have donated and so many of you that I will not be actually attending the game. Incredibly generous, Alex, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't actually, I've got it open here. I mean, we've had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people donating for other people to be able to come to the game this weekend, which is incredible. You can still donate. And if we don't find enough people to give tickets out to this weekend, then we'll continue to give tickets away for future home games. It's on our website. It's elmparkrules.com/donate.
Yeah, and if we have to empty seat it, we will buy a seat like that way, because the most important thing is getting finance into the club. So if you do want to check that and see if you want to have a chance of getting some tickets, we can't guarantee that because it depends on how many people will be entering. Obviously, you can go find us on Twitter, X, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Instagram, but you can also find it, as Alex just said, on elmparkrolls.com. That competition closes on Thursday at 9 a.m. So if you're listening to that tonight on Wednesday, I would look that up very quickly and get on it straight away. So now I think we're going to be talking about the game last night. I mean, let's first of all talk about the changes. There was Joel Pereira who came in for David Bunn, who apparently was ill. There was Ben Elliott, who came in for Kelvin, and there was also Savage, who came in for Michael Craig. What were your thoughts on those changes?
Given how the second half went on Saturday against Wickham, I think it kind of made sense to start with the team which finished the game against Wickham. We looked stronger in the second half, and I don't think either of the two who came out could really have too many complaints about being, you know, on the bench yesterday. And it was good to see Pereira in goal. People have been obviously calling for it for a while. You know, Button being ill, it's not ideal that's the way that it's happened. But I think if you're going to give Pereira an opportunity, then why not do it away at a game where we, I think most people certainly before last night, were predicting that we were going to lose anyway. So didn't really feel like there was much to lose by giving Pereira a chance in goal, even if Button hadn't been ill yesterday. So it was good to see him get a start.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, I think he did fine, to be honest, maybe slightly better. I mean, he took a cross, which is an exciting moment for all Reading fans. And also, he made a couple of good saves.
Yeah, the save very early on, I think he was, 10 minutes in or so, from the free kick, he made a really, not really good save. It was a decent enough save, low down to his left, in which he seemed to slam himself into the post as he saved it. It looked for a moment like he was injured after 10 minutes of his first start, which really would have been pretty awful, but he managed to carry on, so that was good. And then, yeah, he made a couple of other good saves during the game. I think he was fine. I think we'll come on to the penalty a little bit later. Maybe his decision-making is a little bit, rash at some points. His distribution is not that good either. But ultimately, we're in a position where we really just want the goalkeeper to make saves. Are we that desperate for someone who's going to be able to play 30, 40 yard passes from their own goal? I don't think we are. We really just need someone who's going to stop the ball from going in the net ultimately. And I know Derby did it twice last night, but I really can't put either of the blame on Pereira for either of the goals. So I think he did fine last night, and I'd be kind of happy to see him play there on Saturday again in goal.
Yeah, I agree. Let's give him a chance. David Button's fair to say he's had, he's more than had a good run this season. He's played every single league game, I'm pretty sure on that. So, yeah, let's try him out. I think David Button is, he's not an amazing goalie. We all know that. He's giving everything. But let's try something different, because maybe prayer will just help us save, in one game. And that's all we need. Two or three games. If he gets us, a big save in two of the next 10 games and saves us a point or gets us the 3 points, that's absolutely huge. But moving back to the game from last night, we had Chazen hitting the post in the 33rd minute. I mean, he's absolutely wide open there, isn't he, Alex? He probably should score.
Yeah, I think this is probably the only really big chance that Derby created though during the first half. Although we were very, very under the cosh during that first half, and really, I don't think we actually had a chance whatsoever. I think maybe Wing had one shot from 25 yards, and that was it. But other than that, nothing. Although we were very under the cosh, this is really Derby's only big chance. He should score, though, you're right. It's pretty much a free header. And I mean, Paul Warren teams are kind of like this, though. They don't create that many chances, and the best chances they do create are from set pieces. It was a really good chance. He probably should score. And he's, I think it's, we got away with it that he hasn't put it in the net there.
Yeah. He needed a tiny little bit of luck. And that probably was the end of our luck
I think we did ride our luck in terms of Derby weren't playing that well in the first half. And, I think the reaction yesterday about us being robbed, as it were, I feel like a lot of Reading fans will be in agreement that we weren't robbed of 3 points or anything yesterday, but we've been robbed of a chance to get a point. That's the thing. Because we didn't play well enough for 3 points. When you look at the first half particularly, they really were better than us. And as you say, Paul, our luck did run out eventually. And it wasn't necessarily just because Derby managed to take advantage of things.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little tiny bit of extra luck when actually Derby thought they'd scored in the second half, but the ball had actually gone out for a corner. But soon after that, Dwight Gale gives them actually the lead from a free kick. Now, is he offside here, Alex? Is this the beginning of the refereeing, or is someone playing him on at the right at the top of the picture there?
It's really difficult to tell whether he's offside or not, but there's two or three Derby players who are definitely past the main line of Reading players when the free kick is taken from the kind of the deep right-hand side. Whether the player, I don't know which player he is, but there's a player kind of like on the far side of the camera angle, or far side when you look at the picture of it, that looks like maybe he is playing them on, but it's very difficult to tell. It must be very tight either way. So either either we've kept a player on side, and it's basically an empty box because Reading have tried to put an offside trap. or there's three Derby players offside. It's one or the other, but it's very difficult to tell from the angle. I'm going to go with the fact that it probably is offside, because let's be honest, the official didn't really get a lot else right during the night, so why would this one be right?
Yeah, that feels about fair.
It was an easy finish for Gale, though, wasn't it? Really?
Oh, because yeah, there's no defenders there. The ability to slot that away, no problem at all.
There's no defenders there, ultimately, once he gets the ball, because where are they going to be? They've all pulled out to try and put an offside trap, and it obviously hasn't worked.
He's obviously a really good signing for Derby. He's the kind of player that you'd love to be able to bring in at the end of the season, isn't he? Because he's just got that experience. He will bring you goals, and he will bring you other things that come up later in the match as well, which we have suffered before from Dwight Gale. But we have a response straight away from Sam Smith. Some really nice link there between Wing and Savage. And then Elliott manages to get into that central area, plays in a nice pass there for Yidam. Cross comes in, and you're thinking he's going to do well to score for here, Sam Smith. But it's a really good header.
Yeah, it's a good header, isn't it? Because, when the cross comes in, it sort of loops up in the air, and it's not a particularly dangerous cross in any way whatsoever. It's ended up in a dangerous area, but because of the way that it's gone up into the air, there's not really any pace on it, etc. You think Sam Smith is really going to have to go something to actually score from there, particularly because there's a defender who's marking him as well. But he's managed to get a really good connection on the ball with his head and nod it into the corner, like into the bottom corner where the goalkeeper's got no chance of getting there first. So, yeah, it was almost an instant response as well, really, wasn't it? I don't think we were even behind for very long once we did go behind, which was my worry. Once they scored the first goal, I thought, well, like, given the way the first half went, it's so difficult to see Reading coming back into this now. But instead, we go straight back down the other end and, you know, equalised after, 2 minutes after they scored. So it felt like the game was back to that neutral stage there, and we could definitely pick up a point at that stage with half an hour to go or 35 minutes to go still.
Yeah, you're definitely thinking that, aren't you? I mean, we've seen that so many times in League One that there's really not that much between any of the teams. I think Portsmouth, there's a bit of a gap. That's the only team. I think all the others, you think, as I've said many times, we can beat them all and we can lose them all.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not a lot between them. It's from second down to, 19th. I mean, they're all on their day, they can all play well, but on their day, they can all have, you know, really poor days as well. As we've seen from multiple different teams this season, some have turned up and looked, you know, dreadful, and then some turn up and we look dreadful. So it's, as you say, I think League One is just really very congested from maybe second or third all the way down to about 15th to 20th. It's just not a lot in it between those teams.
No, and then we have the game-changing moment in the 58th minute. Andy Yidam is sent off for his second yellow card. Now, he receives a pass here from Femi Aziz. Not an ideal pass, you know, let's be honest about it, but it's not a terrible pass. He slightly miscontrols the ball. And then the Derby player obviously sees the opportunity to get a cheap free kick here and another yellow card for Yidam, which results in a red card. I don't blame Derby players. It's exactly how you would do it if you rely on the, you know, referee basically just has a shocker here. It's never a yellow card. I don't think he actually touches him at all. And you just think, what could
I saw
have
the
been?
Replay. I saw the replay afterwards from like behind the goal. He's a yard away from him.
Yeah.
It's not as if he's
shocking,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's not as if Yeardom's got close to him and, you know, the Derby player's foot is right next to Yeardom's foot. Maybe the referee's just, you know, missed the contact and it's been very close. He's miles away from him. Like, I have no idea how the referee's given this as a foul in the first place. The fact that it's a yellow card just seems baffling. The fact that it's a second yellow card is even worse. Like, it's just so many things wrong with this decision. It's just incredible. And it completely changes the game as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that makes a huge change, doesn't it? Obviously, I mean, Derby, you know, going for automatic promotion. You know, they've got the momentum now, haven't they? It's 1-1. Maybe if we had somehow had the lead in the situation, it's a totally different dynamic. But 10 minutes later, they get a penalty. Now, as you said earlier, maybe Joel Pereira doesn't come rushing out for that ball. But we can't hide the fact that Dwight Gale, yet again, has handled the ball against Reading and managed to get away with it. So he wins the penalty. or something that actually should be a free kick to us.
Yeah, the interview with Dwight Gayle after the game was just unbelievable. He said he didn't realise that it had touched his hand until other Derby players pointed it out to him. And it was like, you've punched the ball in front of you by 5 yards. How did you not realise it's come off your hand? You must have felt it. You've got nerves in your hand. Like, it's just, guys just...
Well, I don't know if he has, because maybe he hasn't. I mean, he's got a history. Maybe he's got some kind of neurological issue. Maybe he can't feel his hands, you know?
He must do. He's just clueless. Like, I just don't understand. Like, don't get me wrong. Fine, if you're going to do that and that's how you want to win the game, that's completely your choice as a player, great. But why are you saying it's an accident? Like, we've all just watched it on the camera. We can all see you've punched the ball in front of him. Yes, Pereira then takes him out, but clearly, like, it's a handball anyway, so I don't really see what difference it makes in terms of Pereira taking him out or not. It's just a bit of a joke, isn't it? It's just another decision where you just think, I don't understand what the referee's logic is there at all. He clearly hasn't seen it. This is the only one which I can really kind of think, you know, although the referee's got it wrong, I can kind of maybe excuse it because it's the wrong side of the ref and the wrong side of the assistant. It's a terrible decision either way. But it's the only one which you can kind of be like, well, I can kind of see why the referee's given it, because if he doesn't see the handball, it just looks like to anybody else that Pereira's just wiped him out. But that obviously doesn't excuse the Yeardom yellow card in the first half, the Yeardom second yellow card, or the goal, which is potentially offside anyway. So there's a lot of things which, you know, we can give the referee a pass maybe on the penalty, but I just think it's just a bad decision anyway, isn't it? Even if you can't see it.
Because now, apart from all those decisions,
apart from those small moments.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. Apart from getting all the big decisions wrong, he was absolutely brilliant. I mean, he's top-class refereeing. Fully expecting at some point that he'll send an apology to the club and like, oh, I got this wrong. Really doesn't matter, mate, does it? You know, it's pointless.
It's too late by that point. No one cares. Yeah. Like,
no.
Great, you admitted you got it wrong. It doesn't help us, does it? Like, in any way, it doesn't. Yeardom is still going to be suspended. The club didn't get a point yesterday and they've still lost the game. Like, and the game's been ruined for however many Reading fans were in Derby yesterday, plus however many were watching elsewhere. Like, it's just, apology is just meaningless.
He's also like screwed over Derby in their games, hasn't he? You saw lots of Derby fans saying he's just a shit ref, basically.
Yeah, I did read about this.
I don't want to go into a ref like fully, but this bloke was absolutely fucking awful.
He sent off their keeper earlier in the season for controlling the ball on his chest rather than with his hand or something. And they had a man sent off against Bolton. And they feel like it was almost like just karma for the fact that they had him earlier in the season. So maybe we'll get him again later in the season and, you know, he'll help us out somehow.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'm fully in for that, 100%. Make that happen. But, you know, we make lots of substitutions. Thankfully, we take off Sam Smith. We take off Aziz. I think these are the right things to do, aren't they? Because you want them fresher for the game against Cambridge on Saturday. Ideally, you still have them on the pitch. But we don't have the squad depth to be able to do that. Game kind of like did drift away. Nibs did have a chance. And maybe on another day, maybe that goes in. But I'm not going to be hypercritical of Harvey Nibs here. I mean, he's a player who's played, I think, virtually every single minute of the season. So, and has been really good for us.
Yeah, I mean, Nibs has scored, 15 now, I think it is, this season in all competitions. We've seen him miss big chances before. It's not that surprising that he hasn't put this one away, ultimately. It's annoying, but it's not, I don't want to say not unforgivable, because that's, you know what I mean. It's forgivable that he's missed, basically, because he has scored at other points in this season. So I'm not that surprised that we didn't get back into the game. And you're right, it makes sense to take off those players who are going to be playing Saturday. And when you're 2-1 down to, you know, a team in the top two in the league with 10 men, why leave them on, ultimately? If you get back into the game, great. But do you really want to leave them on running around extra because they've only got 10 men for another half an hour when you don't need to be? It just doesn't really make sense, does it? So, yeah, I think it makes sense to bring those players off and basically prepare for Saturday, which becomes essentially a must-win game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think, obviously, Pereira obviously then makes a late save from Dwight Gayle. And you got to say, he's really probably should start on Saturday. I mean, I would be saying, even though we lost last night, you've got to put into the context of who we lost to, what happened during the game. I would start the same team again, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said earlier, we didn't create loads in the first half. I mean, I don't think it was necessarily a case of we were playing badly. It's just that Derby are a reasonably good side, right? Like, it's, we have to bear that in mind in the context of last night's result and the way that we played. We haven't gone there to try and win the game 3-0 or 4-0 because we don't expect to be able to. Whereas, you know, Sellers came out after the game last night and said, we're going to look forward to Saturday. We're going to go out from the first minute and look to go forwards and go be on the front foot. So, I mean, that may just be cliche and it might just be manager speak, but I think that's what you've got to do on Saturday. You have to go out and try and win the game. And I think we've discussed it a number of times on the pod over the last couple of months about the fact that if you start a game with someone like Savage in there, that's giving you more of a front foot than it is Michael Craig. So I would probably play the same 11 and look to, you know, look to try and get an early goal against what should be, you hope, a relatively low morale Cambridge team after their loss last night. So, and I mean, even when we look at the result last night that we lost, although it's bad, we've lost to Derby away from home, whereas you look at some of the other teams around us who've lost games last night, they have not lost to Derby. They've lost to teams who are lower down in the table. So it doesn't look quite as disastrous, I think, when you look at some of the other results.
No, I agree on that. I'm just hoping Cambridge, which I don't think they will do. I don't think do anything rash because they've only just appointed Gary Monk. So I just can't see that happening. But you never know in the world of football. Craziness happens. It really does. So I'm hoping we don't have a response from them on that game at the Select Car Leasing Stadium this weekend. So if you have enjoyed this podcast, give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Thanks for listening. We keep on fighting, don't we? That's all we can do.